Good morning to everyone, and welcome in the house of the Lord. Happy Sabbath to everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Yaku. It's like Yahoo, but with a C. And I'm from South Africa. I have moved here about a year ago. Yeah, I was a welding inspector back in South Africa, and I was born there, so I lived my whole entire life there. And I've only been living here for a year, so, and it's been interesting. I'm going to share my testimony with you this morning. And I have to say, the Lord has already blessed this morning for those of you who weren't in the lesson study. You know, we've got so many good lessons, and it's interesting that my testimony, which I prepared a long time ago, actually ties exactly in with the lesson. You would think I'm going to give you the lesson study this week, but I'm not. I was thinking of changing my sermon, my testimony, because of the lesson study, and then I thought, no, let's just preach it how I've prepared it. But what came out of the lesson this morning was that, you know, we need to be converted. Otherwise, we will not have the desire to reach the people out there. And this is something that each and every one of us should seek in our own hearts. One thing that gives me the desire. Sometimes I feel I'm not converted if I look at my fruit, but there's nothing more precious or more joyful than to bring someone into the truth. And that is what I've experienced, and nothing can beat that. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about my life before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus, and how my life has been changed because of Jesus. And some of these things are not very positive as you look at my life before Jesus, but I'm going to share my life, my whole entire life for you today. And so I hope you receive a blessing out of it. So my life started, and 5 months after I was born, my mom died, and leaving me and my brother behind. She died of a disease called porphyry. And after my mom died, my grandmother raised me and my brother for about 5 years, and then my dad got married again. And he got 2 sons again with his second wife, which ended in a divorce. He divorced his second wife and married a widow with 3 kids. And yeah, so growing up with my dad was a very painful experience, as me and my brother was yearning for his love and attention. And sometimes my dad would, as I not understand my homework, he would yell at me and scream and hit me until late at nights. And so basically I have lived in fear in my home, which I grew up. Me and my brother were competing for my dad's attention, and so we would fight a lot of the times, but he was 3 years older than me, so he would win the fights. We were always jealous of each other and extremely selfish, and that was not good. Sundays my dad would drop us off at church, and then he would go back home, and then we would have to walk back to church. So up to high school, I went to church, which was a Dutch Reform Afrikaans church, a so-called Protestant church. And I had to go to church because that's something that I was told to do. When I was in high school, I was very short-tempered. I had no self-control and I had no self-worth. Nobody cared, so I didn't feel like trying. I had no ambition to learn. And I stayed away from school a lot of the time. Well, I didn't even go to school. My stepmom was from a charismatic church, and she and her kids would go to the charismatic church. There was no unity in our house spiritually, and everybody did their own thing. We were two groups in this family, and for anybody that wants to get married, I would not recommend you get married outside of your faith. It will never work. You see, it is Satan's desire to destroy the image family. And so war broke out in the house between my dad's, my brothers, and my stepmom's children. And it became so bad that she had to move twice out of the house. She moved out, and it was just unbearable. But she would return after a couple of months every time. And the second time, they put us in a boarding school. And that's how they fixed the problem, you know. Well, me and my brother, we hated it there. And they put us in a room with the two biggest bullies in the whole high school. And we were in, you know, secondary school. I think that's what you call it, yeah. So, and the room that we lived in was pretty much demon-possessed. It was awful. I cannot even explain to you what everything that happened there. But so, yeah, luckily we only stayed there for a year, so we went back home, and I went back to home, but I stayed with my grandmother then. That became my home. Well, I ended up having bad friends in school, and we ended up, you know, drinking and smoking and partying. And everybody needs friends, right? I was lost. My schooling career ended up me failing my final year of exam. And within my exam, me and my dad had a huge fight again, and I ran away from home for about 2 weeks, and this was in my final exam. After my high school, I did those subjects I failed, and I rewrote them, and I passed them, and then I studied information technology. And then again, I had trouble getting to classes and paying for my classes, and so I quit. And work was very hard to find in those years, and this was back in 2001 in South Africa. And so I decided to go to the United Kingdom for 2 years, and I applied for a working holiday visa. And so I bought a plane ticket, and I got my visa, and I climbed on the airplane without even greeting my family. Here I'm going all alone into London, which is a very depressing place because you never see the sun. Well, in London I was very lonely, and luckily, my cousin also came over, but we did construction work, any work that you can do. I mean, you can get decent money paid there over there for any work that you do. In South Africa, we have cheap labor. That's something that we also don't have here. He was also one of those popular guys, my cousin, so he had a lot of friends, and they would just live from one party to the next, and, you know, I would join them sometimes. I didn't have anybody else, but that didn't really bring me any joy. I went to a Dutch Reform Afrikaans church in London, which brought me closer to Jesus. I was starting to turn to Him and seeking Him. I went back to South Africa after a year staying in London, and I went for a vacation, and I didn't speak to my dad for the whole year, except my brother and my grandma. And then my dad picked me up at the airport. It was now all good between us, but we never spoke of anything that happened in the past, and we've never ever done that. You see, no reconciliation took place between us. Nothing was spoken of what happened. In John 13, verse 34, we read, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Sister White comments on this verse in Christ Object Lessons, page 144, where she says, "Do we obey this command, or are we indulging sharp, unchristlike traits of character? If we have in any way grieved or wounded others, it is our duty to confess our faults and seek for reconciliation. This is an essential preparation that we may come before God in faith to ask His blessing. It is God's spirit to always seek for reconciliation to others, and it is the devil's spirit to not do that. Look for the opportunity to reconcile with others, because if we won't, then we will lose a great big blessing from God. If one person does not seek reconciliation, the other can forgive him and leave the results to God." Just to tell you how God has interceded in my life in prayer, my family, my aunt was very against me when I became an Adventist. I'm going a little ahead now. But I realized that not in all cases, but in many cases, you cannot preach to your family. You cannot witness to them. And she told me in my face, we should keep 9 commandments. And I said, I just didn't say anything. And I prayed for her. Well, a couple of months later, she phoned me and she said, 10 commandments. Changed her mind. And God answered that prayer. I went on vacation when I was on vacation. I was on vacation in South Africa, but I went on another vacation. We went to the coast. And to make a long story short, I met a girl and she broke my heart. I was seeking love from someone that was not able to fulfill the emptiness, and someone that cannot fill the empty hole that is inside of me. The next year, I had to go back to London because I was renting a home, so I had a contract. I had people living in my home that I was renting. So, and that was probably the worst year of my life. I found myself a couple of times in the streets of London, lost, half drunk, praying, screaming, yelling at God, "Why do you have to let me go through all of this pain?" I can remember the one night we went out with people living in my house and we went to this bar and I got tired of being there, you know, you just sit there. And I went out and I walked across the street and I sat on the bus for the bus to come, on the bus stop. And 10 minutes later, half of the whole bar came out and everybody was just hitting each other, screaming at each other. And just huge fight right in front of me, and I was just sitting there watching it like a movie. And I thought to myself, how in the world will you find love and acceptance here? You see, I was looking for love in the wrong places. While I was lost in the, like I said earlier, I was speaking very loud to God, and sometimes we can do that. We can pour our hearts out to God. I started to search for God, and I wanted to know truth, and I wanted Him to speak it to me there and then in the streets. I wanted to hear His voice. After 2 years being in London, I went back to South Africa, and I knew that I didn't know the answers, but something was telling me there must be more to the Word of God. There must be more answers in here than what I know. And what I'm about to share explains my problem perfectly, as this had an impact on my Christian experience, and I feel a lot of people have the same problem. I was given a DVD called Indescribable. Who of you have ever heard of Indescribable? In this DVD, the presenter, Louis Giglio, shows photographs of the space taken by the Hubble telescope by NASA. I will highlight what stood out for me. Our own galaxy is 100,000 light years long. Now 100,000 light years is how far light travels in 100,000 years at the speed of light. The speed of light travels 187,000 miles per second, and light can travel around the Earth 7 times every second. The Earth's solar system is the size of a quarter in North America, just in our subdivision. So if you would drop a quarter out of your pocket in North America, that is how how big the Earth is in our subdivision. This DVD helped me to have a new perspective on life and realized that I was too focused on myself. I learned that we are actually extremely small, and that I am actually very small. And the God who created all of this must be extremely enormous. There are many people out there that are suffering more than me. Jesus Christ suffered more than me. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." There are 25 words in this text. The verse starts with God and it ends with life. And right in the center of the verse is the word Son. The truth of this verse is centered around the Son. Jesus is the center of all things and not me. As I was searching for answers, I started to become more confused in my search. I was confused with questions like, how is it that Jesus will raise up the dead if we're already in heaven or hell? One night, and I remembered it yesterday, I knelt down and I said, as I was trying to figure this out, I said, "Lord, give me truth." And I don't know why I prayed this prayer, but I know this is one prayer that God will always answer. A week later, I found a job, a shutdown, close to where I live, as a welding inspector. And I started working with some of my friends, and I was sharing some of the things that, you know, that I was searching. I had a pack of DVDs that big, but, you know, 99% of it was all lies. I shared with a lot of people that this one particularly guy, his name is Bill Weiss, and it's called 23 Minutes in Hell. I don't know who is familiar with that. The guy, he needed to tell his church about hell, and he didn't know what to say. And so he went back home, and he claimed he was praying and he had an outer body experience, and Jesus came and took him to hell, which is in the middle of the earth. Absolutely false. At this time, I was battling with God. Why would he allow people to burn for the ceaseless ages of eternity? Ezekiel 33:11 says that God has no pleasure in destroying the wicked. I know now that this is false, and God has no pleasure in destroying the wicked. Hell is coming when God will have to make an end to this world of suffering and sin, and people have a choice. I met a guy at work, and he told me, "For the wages of sin is death." I said, "That was very interesting." And he said he wanted some of my DVDs, and so I gave him some of my DVDs, and he said, "Here's some DVDs for me." And he gave me a revelation seminar of Leo Scriven. And I think God used Leo Scriven to reach me, because I was working 7 days a week, 17 hours a day, shutdown. You run around the whole day. And so I think he was the guy to keep me awake at night. So while I was working, I was watching these DVDs. About a month, when I watched them, everything became clear. The whole plan of salvation I saw for the first time that I've never saw before. And after about a month of watching these DVDs, I thought to myself, well, I have to know more. I've never heard of an Adventist church before in my life. And so I went and looked online for him, and I found his website. And there was a number in America, and I phoned the number, and the lady said, oh, sorry, yeah, I forgot to tell you. I clicked on seminars on the website, and I saw tomorrow's date. He's in South Africa. He's 320 days of the year away from home, preaching all around the world, and I saw tomorrow's date. He's in South Africa. I couldn't believe it. I said, that's unreal. And I don't think this was coincidence. I think this was God's leading in my life. And so I was very excited. And so I phoned, like I said, I phoned, and the lady answered. And she said, yes, Leo is going to be in South Africa, but I don't have a phone number for him, but I can give you his personal email address. So I emailed him. And about 2 days later, someone phoned me and said, Leo is going to be in Johannesburg this weekend. And I was like, that's an hour away from where I live. Couldn't believe it. So I met Leo there and everything. That was my first day in an Adventist church, and it was great. You know, even though I didn't have all the truth yet, I believed and I know that this was where God was leading, because everything came from the Word of God and everything made logical sense. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. You know, and for the first time there was joy in my life. Nothing else mattered. I understood John 15:11, which says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The only place where we will find real joy is in Jesus Christ. In John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And goes on to 36, which says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. As I learned more about the truth, I started having a closer relationship with Christ, and only then understood what he did for me and you. I started to understand the words of Isaiah 53, and I'll read Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. I realized that Jesus gave it all to me. I was a different person as I was set free. And when I walked into the church, there were sitting 10 people in the church. But I knew this was it. By this time, I already decided I'm keeping the Sabbath and I'm not drinking and smoking ever again in my life. Those things just disappeared. I already accepted the teachings of the Adventist Church, but there was one I've never heard before. It was the spirit of prophecy. And so I started reading the books. And after reading Desire of Ages and some parts of other books, I was fully convinced that she was a prophetess that God gave the Last Day Church. And I don't believe that anybody should be allowed to join the church if they don't believe or accept spirit of prophecy. Because today we find a lot of churches accepting people, and if you ask them, well, what about spirit of prophecy? No, I don't believe it, or, you know. So it is becoming a problem. But God has given us this prophetess. Allow you me to share how God was leading in my life. My family attacked me as I decided I'm never working on Sabbath ever again. And coming from 7 days a week, 17 hours a day. And they told me, no, you are lazy to work. You don't want to work. So I received this excellent, the best job offer that you can think of at the biggest, in the biggest project happening in South Africa. It was the Medupi power station that they're building, which is the sixth largest power station in the southern hemisphere. So I went for the interview and I told the guy I don't work on Saturdays. And they liked me and they kept phoning me. And I said, this is non-negotiable. And so eventually they stopped. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If Jesus obeyed the Father's commands, who are we not to obey his commandments? I am keeping the Sabbath no matter what, even if they offer me R1 million a day. Well, Jesus did make a way. As a year later, I became the client inspector of that same project. The people who rejected me, I became their boss. And I never had to work on a Sabbath or a Sunday. And this gave me an opportunity to reach out to people. And God was just, you know, it just makes sense to follow the Lord, and He will direct your path. What does Isaiah 58:13 say? If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor doing speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. As I've been sharing my life before I met Jesus and now discovering Jesus, the Sabbath really changed my life in a positive manner. God gave me friends. They invited me on Sabbath to their homes, which was something I've never had in the church where I grew up in. Nobody ever once invited me for a lunch or anything like that. This was all new to me. God knew what He was doing in creating this commandment. And this is the lesson that we can learn as a church family, to reach out to each other, invite each other. I don't see that in the church where I'm going to a lot. Yes, we have potluck, but it is better to invite people to your home, because that way you can connect better with people. And that is what we need to do. It reminds me of the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 21. Jesus says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus gives us His glory so that we should unite as one. Back to my work situation back in Alice Ross. The Lord placed me there for a reason in that position, because I was able to reach people under me and I was able to speak to people above me. The Lord guided one of the big managers over my path, and he and his wife got baptized into the Adventist church. There's nothing to describe the joy that you receive when something like that happens. I reached out to a lot of other people as well. They have not made the decision yet, but they know the truth. they know they cannot. And one of the guys, his father is actually a Dutch Reformed pastor. That was funny. Well, my family thought I was crazy. So I realized talking to them is not a very good idea. So I kept praying for them. And 5 years after I was baptized, someone in my family came to light. My dad's ex-wife found me one Sabbath morning and she said, "Where's the church?" She watched the Walter Feith DVDs I gave her and she wants to go to church now. She said she thinks she wants to go to church. I said, "I think you should." And this is a big thing because of my two half-brothers. The one is struggling with drug addiction. The other one is also totally in the world. So their mother being Adventist now is a testimony to everybody. It's not only me now anymore. Well, I met my wife online, and that's a testimony on its own. We got married in South Africa in 2014, and we decided to move here after spending a year in South Africa. It took us a year to get the immigration paperwork together. I was ready to receive that which God had planned for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you." God intervened in my life better than what I imagined He could, and better than what I have asked for. We worked for about a year on my immigration paperwork for me to move to the U.S., and we ran into a lot of difficulties, and God performed a lot of miracles. To just testify of one, we had to get an unabridged birth certificate. And in South Africa, things can take very long. People were saying that this you're going to wait long. Some people said you can wait up to 4 months for that certificate. Well, we prayed about it, and it took 2 weeks. I landed here on the 6th of August, 7 days before AFCO started, which was another huge miracle that I got my visa in time to make the program. I finished AFCO at the end of last year, November, and it was a great blessing for me to go there. I learned quite a bit. Now I am at Gridley Church as their Bible worker, working for the Oakers and the Acorn, and I give God all the glory for that. It is sometimes still difficult to stay encouraged, but again, if you meet someone that just that one person that is excited about what you want to give them, that makes all the difference. I pray my life continues to grow with Christ in my life and so that I can be a blessing to others. We all have a story to tell, and God has a reason for everything. And God wants us to experience life abundantly with Him. I'm going to end this with this quote and 6 important steps. The quote is found in Ministry of Healing, page 143. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed His sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then He bade them, "Follow Me." There are many ways to do outreach, but there is only one way that will bring true success. It is the way that Christ reached people. Notice Christ's method for reaching individuals' hearts. He mingled with men. He desired their good. He showed sympathy for their problems. He ministered to their needs, thus winning their confidence. And then He called them to follow Me. There is much more than to just giving Bible studies. It is about relationships, friendships, meeting needs, and winning confidence to be able to point them to Christ so that He can save them. Jesus reached the hearts of people by going among them as one who desired their good. He seeked after them as he seeked after me. In order to reach all classes, we must meet them where they are. They will seldom seek us of their own accord. We read in Desire of Ages, page 151, 152, most people, over 99%, will never make a personal effort to come to Christ. Waiting for them to walk through the church door will never fulfill the divine commission. We must seek them out of our own, in their own homes, workplaces, and wherever else we may come in daily contact with people. They need us to go to them. Jesus meets every need. All through the ministry of Christ, we see him involved in people's lives. Sometimes he was preaching and teaching, but most of the time, and we heard it this morning, he ministered one-on-one. Jesus met socially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physical needs. Jesus met the needs of people, and he was always interested in the people around him. He looked to see what they were seeking, what they were longing, what were their needs. Throughout the book of John, you see Jesus demonstrating his immense care by people by meeting their needs. In John chapter 2, Jesus met a social need, the wedding feast at Cana. In John chapter 3, Jesus met a spiritual need, Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, Jesus met an emotional need, the woman at the well. In John chapter 5, Jesus met a physical need, a man had laid at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Christ's method alone will bring true success. If we follow Jesus' example, success will be ours. Watch the people around you for their felt needs. They may not know always what their need is. And sometimes when we don't know what their needs are, we will have to pray and ask God to show us what their needs are, and then focus on that need. These steps are not only to be used outside of the church, but also inside of the church. I have found life abundantly in God's church, and it's my desire to tell others of his love. My scripture reading was John 10:10 today, and it says, "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And this was also directly out of our lesson this morning. As I looked at my life, how Jesus mingled with me, he desired my good, and he dried up my tears, he ministered to my needs, thus having confidence to follow him. I pray it be our desire as a church, as a unit, as one, to follow these 6 steps. Amen.